Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
Well, we come today to our final regular program in the life study of Genesis. And as he was here in the beginning, I think it's appropriate that Ron Kengis has joined us for this final program in Genesis. Ron, I'm glad that you're here.
I was happy to be here in the beginning, and I'm happy to be here at the end to see how this marvelous life study is concluded.
Well, Ron, we have one final look at Joseph as a full type of Christ. And we've said that often before, but really, what do we mean by that comparison?
I hope our listeners won't be bothered by receiving something very basic in my fellowship. But in relation to God, we're children, and we need pictures to help us understand the divine things. In the New Testament, we have the clear propositional definition of the truth. But if we only had this, it would be hard for most of us to grasp the spiritual significance. So we have the types or the pictures in the Old Testament. Having said this, let us comment again on Joseph as a type or as a picture of Christ. Joseph was a man full of divine revelation. So was Christ. Joseph was one betrayed by his brothers and sold by them. So was Christ. Joseph had a life of suffering in secret. So did Christ. Joseph was without defect. So is Christ. Eventually, Joseph was enthroned to rule over Egypt for God's interests. So is Christ, and so will Christ be enthroned. Even now, if we have eyes to see, he is the God-exalted one, reigning from the throne in the third heavens, carrying out God's governmental administration. And as the life-giving Spirit, he is reigning in those who are one with him. When he comes back, as typified by Joseph, he will test and discipline his chosen people, Israel, preparing them to recognize him. Then, as Joseph reigned in Egypt, our Christ will reign on the earth for 1,000 years. During this time, he will equalize everybody, and he will be the unique means of receiving the spiritual life supply. If we want to know Christ, we need to know Joseph. And if we understand the story of Joseph, we will know our wonderful Christ.
Thank you, Ron, for that review and that fellowship. Let's join Witness Lee with today's final life study of Genesis.
Now we come to the line of life. I tell you, what you will hear will surprise your ears and your heart. When I read the record, how Joseph collected money, how Joseph collected cattle, how Joseph eventually collected all the people with all the land, I said, Joseph, you are just a robber. You collected their money, you collect their cattle, flocks, herds, donkeys, horses, all the livestock. And you collected all the land, and eventually you collected the whole being, everything you collected. You are the top landlord in the human history. Where, when you can find such a person collecting everything? He held the lifeline. What the lifeline? Food. Nobody else had food but Joseph. Do you want food?
Amen.
Give me money. Do you need the satisfaction? Yes. Pull out your money from your pocket. Give money. No money, no food. This was Joseph. And eventually, you know the story, telling us all the people came to him, Joseph, our money fails. All gone. But we still need the food. It was not proposed by the people, but by Joseph. He said, give me all your cattle. Give me all your cattle, and I give you food. And then the people gave him all the cattle. Actually, in the whole Egypt, there was not one other lord, no landlord, but one. Just one landlord, one banker, one cattle raiser. This one, unique. How could this person be so rich? How could he hold all the supply? Because of all his sufferings. From his age of 17, he has been suffering over 22 years, or at least 13 years, whatever you would say. Don't you believe, while he was the ruler over the whole land of Egypt, not seeing his father, he was still suffering? I must say again, he had the power, he had the position, he had the ability, he had everything to bring his father down to him. But he didn't do it. He didn't do it with a purpose to fulfill God's will. So, under the fulfillment of God's will, he was suffering there. He was suffering, even he was the ruler. He was still suffering until one day the father came to him. So now he is the one who holds all the riches. And how could he be such a one? Because of all his sufferings. Today, dear ones, in the church, the same. Who can give people some supply? The suffering ones. In our hymnal, we have a hymn on the life of the grape vine. And the last two verses were added by Brother Watchman Nee. I believe many of you do remember what the last stanza says. Life is not measured by gain, but by loss. It doesn't depend how much wine you drink, but it depends how much wine you pour out for others. And then he says, if you suffer the more, you have more to give. In other words, if you don't suffer, you have nothing to give. Amen. The riches that you can give to others come from your suffering. And based upon the fact that the grape vine suffers a lot, suffers all kinds of dealings, all kinds of cuttings, eventually, this grape wine produces rich wine to cheer others. How could Joseph be so rich? Here is not only a record, but I believe a picture. He holds all the riches. Because he suffered. Through his suffering, he stored up all the riches. If we are going to be a supplier in the church with food, I tell you, we all have to undergo a long period of suffering. It was until he became 37, from 17 to 30, 13 years. Then from 30, another 7 years. When he became 37 years, he became rich. Rich in what? Not in power. Rich in food. Rich in food supply. Rich in life supply. And today, in the church, it is the same.
Ron, the point in this first section is really a single one. Would you comment on how the supply of life that one has for others is directly related to their suffering? And by this specifically, I mean we all know ones that have suffered, but not everyone who has suffered is rich in Christ. What characterizes the ones that become such a rich supply?
Three matters here. First, it is true that in order to have in our experience the wealth of the divine being wrought into us, to have the riches of Christ, we need to be in the fellowship of his sufferings. We need to pass through sufferings. This is the clear testimony of Paul in 2 Corinthians. We cannot have a genuine ministry of life without experiencing the Lord's sufferings. The second point is this. There are all kinds of sufferings and different kinds of sufferings. Actually, everybody on earth suffers in some way. And Christians may suffer in a common way. A flu bug goes around, and some may suffer from it. There is an economic collapse, and we may suffer from it. We suffer in common with our fellow humans in the old creation. These kind of sufferings don't give us the divine riches. Another kind of suffering is suffering from our mistakes. If someone arrives late at work all the time and is eventually fired, he can't say, "Oh, I'm suffering for the sake of Christ." You suffer being fired because of your own mistakes. It is only another kind of suffering, suffering for doing the will of God, suffering for the name of Christ, suffering for God's economy, that is spiritually beneficial. Now, the third matter concerns who is benefited by sufferings. It is a fact of history and experience that when certain believers suffer, they just get stronger and more stubborn in themselves. They rely upon their natural strength to cope with sufferings. But others, like Paul, and I would say, like Watchman Nee and our dear brother Lee, in their sufferings, they are one with Christ, they deny the self, they take the cross, they do not engage in self-sympathy, but receive the Lord's grace as their bountiful supply. If someone has the vision, and if someone is willing to pay the price to experience Christ crucified, there will be sufferings, and those sufferings will produce a rich and mature ministry of life.
Ron, thank you for that fellowship. Let's rejoin Witness Lee for more of our life study.
To my opinion, Joseph should have been so good, generous, telling the people, "Whenever you need the food, come to me, I'll give you. You bring the horses, you bring the donkeys, or you bring a train, I'll fill you up." Generous. It seemed to me, when I was young, I read this chapter, I didn't feel Joseph was a generous person. There was no generosity there. He was very scarce. "You give me 1 ounce silver, I give me this much." He was squeezing. He was not generous. But this time, praise him, I saw no life supply will be so cheap. In the ancient time, the people paid four kinds of prices. Money first, cattle second, land third, they themselves lastly. All these four items cover all the prices we have to pay. Today, we have to pay money. Then we get the first supply. Then we have to pay the cattle. Then we get the second supply. Then we have to pay the land. We get the third supply. Then we have to pay ourselves. We get the fourth supply. Money means the conveniences. Whatever is convenient, that is money. Brothers, we all can realize by this last cleaning and by this last paying, the cleaning on Joseph's side and the payment on the people's side, the top portion was partaken of. You pay the first, you enjoy the first. You pay the second, you enjoy the second. You pay the third, you enjoy the third portion. You pay the last, you enjoy the top portion. And eventually, you do not only get the food, but you also receive the seed to produce. The church firstly gets the satisfaction, the food, and secondly get the seed for producing. By all these four ways, to pay the conveniences, to pay the transportations, to pay the resources, and to pay yourself. You have to hand over yourself. And before handing over yourself, you have to hand over everything. And eventually, all the people there will say, "Praise the Lord, what a release! What a release! I don't need to care of my money. I don't need to care of my cattle. I don't need to care of my land. I don't need even to care of myself. I only enjoy." Eventually, what is left with the people? Just enjoyment. Right. Only enjoyment. You just tell me, is this good or bad? Before Joseph, Egypt was like today's situation. But after this time, I tell you, Egypt became a prefigure of millennium. Everything is under one man. Everything belongs to one man because this one man has claimed everything. He has the riches. And today, brothers, it has to be the same in the church life. Only Christ has claimed everything of us, and that we all become on the same level, enjoying all the riches of Christ.
Ron, I believe this final portion of the life study of Genesis is entirely fitting. For once again, we have a door opened into the deep and significant revelation that touches God's heart. Four types of payment were demanded by Joseph as he supplied all of the people. And the final payment was for the person to hand themselves over. What is the significance of these four different payments?
The first payment involved money, and this money signifies convenience. If we want Christ to be our life experientially, we must be willing to pay the price of losing convenience. Second, the people paid the price of their cattle, that is, their means of existence. If we want to gain more of the Lord, we should expect Him to touch our various means of existing apart from God. Third, the people eventually had to sell their lands. The land indicates resources. We may have accumulated through our life experiences certain kinds of resources. Actually, we trust in these more than we trust in God. Eventually, we will need to pay the price of giving the Lord these resources. The more price we pay, the more life supply we gain. Eventually, the people of Egypt had no money, no cattle, no land. They could only give themselves. And they gave themselves by handing themselves over to Joseph for him to do whatever he wanted with them. This is the highest price, the price not only of consecrating ourselves, but of handing ourselves over to the Lord, for him to do whatever he wants in us, to us, with us, and through us. It is rare to find a believer who, in sweet fellowship with the Lord, will hand over his or her entire being. What about our inner being, our heart? How much do we still reserve for ourselves? If we want to gain the wealth of the divine life in such a way that we can feed others, we need to pay the fourth price and the highest price of handing over our entire being to the Lord without reservation for him to do whatever he wants. We may be assured that whatever he does will be the best for God, the best for God's economy, and therefore, in the long run, the best for us.
Thank you, Ron. We have saved a couple of minutes today, and I'd like to use them by asking you to give us your final thoughts and impressions of this incredible life study of Genesis, now complete. It has been quite a journey, hasn't it?
This study of Genesis has no adequate parallel anywhere else in church history. It has truly been a life study. This is not a mere devotional reading of Genesis. It's a study. All of these messages are based on countless hours of arduous study of the Word of God. But it's a life study. Our burden has been and is to understand the life matters in Genesis. This life study of Genesis has not been a mere theoretical investigation concerning the experience of life. This life study was conducted by a dear brother who experienced all the points that he talked about. That is why this series of ministry is so nourishing, so supplying, so enlightening, so encouraging. The Bible's a book of life. Genesis is a book of life. We can fulfill God's purpose only by gradually and progressively experiencing the triune God as life. Deep in the heart of God is a desire to turn his seeking ones to himself as life, that we may eat him, drink him, breathe him, be filled with him, and then express him and reign with him in the way of life. This is the burden of the life study of Genesis.
Ron, just a few programs back, Witness Lee used the phrase, our intent in all of these studies has been to open the line of life and to open the way of life. And I can surely say in the way of testimony, the way of life has been much more revealed to me in these past weeks and months.
Yes, the line of life and the way of life have been opened, but the real question is, how much are we open to the line of life and to the way of life? We need an opening that matches the opening God has graciously given us through this life study of the book of Genesis.
Thank you for joining us today, and for Ron Kangas, I'm Chris Wilde.